would like to invite Ethan McCullough from the Overseas Development Institute, ODI, to come up on stage. And you specialize in political and social analysis in conflict-affected environments. You have worked on providing strategy and advice to organizations like DFID, for example, and carried out analysis and working on that also in relation to NGOs and the private sector. And you work at ODI, which has as of late also been working with doing development differently and also thinking and working politically around both development assistance but also peace building. And many of the issues that you raised in terms of dilemmas, questions and problems of the local turn that also are in dire need of going from the criticism on a philosophical foundation towards practical application solution. I mean, part and parcel is also what ODI are twisting and turning around in terms of trying to figure out how to do development differently, how to try to do peace building differently as well. So with that quite terse introduction, I welcome you up on stage, Ethan McCullough, please. And I'll find you your PowerPoint as well.
Thank you, Ricard. So my name is Ethan McCullough. If you want to try and remember my name, just disregard the spelling completely. As Ricard mentioned, I'm based at the Overseas Development Agency in London. And we have been... focusing quite a lot on this agenda, doing development differently, which you may have heard being dropped into conversations, into reports recently. So what is this doing development differently? Well, several years ago, a couple of researchers from ODI met with practitioners and academics at Harvard, and they came to the grand conclusion that development programs, for the most part, are pretty unimpressive in their impact. So that was a pretty depressing conclusion. and they decided, well, if that's our conclusion, then we need to do development differently. So they came together it's a very loose group. It's broadly led by some researchers at ODI and at Harvard. And there's two... basic observations. One is that to a large extent, development is not about the simple transfer of knowledge and resources. It's about achieving change in complex economic, social, and political systems. Now, we often use the word complex when we're talking about development, and we've used the word complex already in this presentation, but we often forget just how complex the systems that we're dealing with. And I guess what we have to remember is that we're dealing with systems that have multiple elements that adapt and change as we're trying to change that system. So the idea of knowing how we can change that system in advance is kind of a fanciful idea. All we can know is what we want to do. How we actually achieve that change is something that we learn as we progress. So the second observation is that, and this is based on the first observation, is that ready-made solutions to development problems typically fail. And this happens because as solutions, of course we can't have solutions because we don't know how the system is going to react to our influence, they are inevitably unrealistic. And they don't take account of the system and how it works. And in fact, prefabricated solutions or formulas can actually harm motivations and ownership. So what I propose doing is looking at the six principles of doing development differently and looking at how they align with the recommendations that have come out of this report. So the first big principle, and this definitely aligns with the whole purpose of this report, is to focus on solving local problems. However, there's a slight difference, and this is actually a problem that you highlighted in the Liberia case study. In the Liberia case study, the local was involved, and there was a certain amount of definition of the problem at the local level, but essentially they were just participants. They weren't defining, debating, and refining the process. And in the recommendations that are put forward in this report, words like consultation and involving the local in policy formulation are also used. But in doing development differently, we want to use stronger language. We want to use the words debate, define, refine for local people. So very active verbs for defining local involvement. So the second big principle in DDD is that reform needs to be legitimised at all levels. So this is both at the political, managerial and social level. And this takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And I felt that this was maybe an area that was underemphasised in this report. The extent to which reform needs to be invested in to get to legitimise it at all levels. So the third principle, working through local conveners who mobilise all those with a stake in the progress, very much aligned to what Joachim, Hannah and Martin proposed in the report. As the report points out, not all local actors are going to be committed to your project. And in doing development differently, the general consensus is that you work with actors who are incentivized to make your project work or who are broadly committed. In peace building, I think that we are faced with a challenge where we need to work with both those who are incentivized to make the project work and also those who are working against us. So there is real dilemmas, as this report highlights, in choosing who you're going to work with and how you're going to work with those different actors. The fourth principle is around learning and adaptation. So there's an idea of learning through rapid cycles of planning, action, reflection and revision. So this really comes through in the report. And Hannah, in her presentation, mentioned several times adapt and learn as a key recommendation for local peacebuilding. This idea of rapid cycle planning and rapid cycle evaluation is quite common in the professional world. But in development, we have a problem because we're largely constrained by the results agenda. So making these recommendations about adapting and learning is very easy, but actually putting them into practice requires a lot of thinking. What we've found at through a series of case studies is that the key thing to ensure that learning and adaptation can happen in a programme is that the goals are defined at the start and everyone agrees on the goals, but the activities to achieve those goals remain undefined. So that allows you with, so the results should be linked to the goals, not to the activities. So the report highlights how strategic, well-considered risks must be allowed in order to make a difference in the long-term local peacebuilding. And this very much aligns with the Doing Development Differently agenda. A key learning point that has emerged is that risks, it's difficult to convince a donor to take risks. So what often works best is if the risk is managed by placing small bets. So trialing something on a very small scale, and if it works, then scaling up. If it doesn't work, it needs to be dropped straight away. So the final point I always think is, well, of course, we want to foster real results, real solutions to real problems that have real impact. What else are we doing? But in reality, often we're doing projects that we know don't have a real impact, but we still do them because we're a part of this whole structure. In the report, it talks about successful peace building at a local level growing organically. I guess my problem with this is, how do we recognise, if it's growing organically, how do we recognise which are the activities that are having a real impact and which are the activities that are not? Based on our learning at ODI, what we recommend is that there's a structured process for testing and learning to discover what is working and what is having an impact, so that there can be learning by doing throughout the project. So that's doing development differently. We still argue quite a lot over this agenda at ODI. When it's presented like this, it seems quite straightforward. I've just done a piece of research in Niger where we're looking at radicalisation in the northern parts of Niger. And we're doing the research for an American agency. And they were running a programme on community cohesion initiatives. And on the surface, they were following a lot of these principles. They had a defined overall goal, but didn't have defined activities, so locals could come to them with ideas and they could fund in a quite flexible, adaptive way. Locals were defining the problems. They were certainly working through local conveners, and they were, when something wasn't working, they were responding. But when we went out into that area to look at what were the activities they had funded and how did that fit in with the political context, we found that the people who had approached them were Sufist imams who were presenting themselves to the Americans as the proprietors of moderate Islam. And they presented the conflict as a conflict between Islam and Christians, between Muslims and Christians, and they proposed a series of activities. For example, a peace caravan where they would travel across to different towns and villages in Niger, meet with different communities, both Christian and Muslim, and talk about the things that united them. So it's kind of like a little mini festival in these different towns. They also proposed a peace camp where Muslims and Christians would come together and participate in dialogue. On further investigation, we understood that actually there was some tension between Christians and Muslims, but actually the real tension was between Sufist Muslims and Salafist Muslims, as there was a rise of Salafist activism in the area, and the Sufists understood this as a threat to them. So on one level, the American agency was responding to a locally defined problem and implementing peace building at a local level, but in fact they were missing the conflict completely, the real conflict. So I'll just leave that with you as eternal dilemmas and challenges that we face in peace building.
Thank you. We can't just keep adding dilemmas. We have to as well get to, and as you did as well, get to some variations of how to turn this into, if we take this premise as a starting point to be somewhat more or less correct, into also practical solutions. And thank you also for sharing and actually further unpacking the local, in that sense, both with Niger, but also in relation to ODI's work on doing development differently or locally led and locally driven initiatives. So we can, in that sense, also understand how many of the issues that we relate to in the peace-building report can be further translated into practice. So I'd like to invite you actually up on stage as well. And then you, Joachim and Hanna, we'll have to share the tables. I'll stay over here. Urban and Chris as well to come up on stage. And we move into panel discussion, and where we also invite shortly questions and comments from you in the audience.